Good morning. It's good to have you here on this Sunday after Easter that's often known as Low Sunday, after attendance is higher on Easter Sunday, that tends to be let down in attendance on the Sunday after Easter. But it's good that all of you are here today as we gather for worship on this post-Easter Sunday. We are in the Easter season now, and we continue to celebrate the empty tomb, and Christ is alive and living among us. So if you are visiting today, I extend a special welcome to you. And if it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out, place it in the offering plate, so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and there are some boards that are meeting today and next Sunday, so just calling your attention to that. And we are having Bible study on Tuesday at 11:30. Also, the Women's Ministry of the First Baptist Church of Melrose is having a spring celebration, is inviting men and women from our congregation to attend. It's this coming Wednesday, the 11th, at 6:30 in the evening. And you're invited to come to attend a light meal and enjoy a delicious dessert bar. And afterwards, the guest speaker will be Housing Families in Malden CEO Ed Cameron and the Community Outreach Coordinator Patty Kelly, as they will be presenting some information about Housing Families and their work with those families who are seeking permanent housing. And if you'd like more information, there is a flyer up on the bulletin board in the hallway, or you can talk to me afterwards. That is this coming Wednesday at First Baptist Melrose at 6:30 in the evening. Some more information about Housing Families. So for our call to worship this morning, God holds out to us the promise of new life. Life as unpredictable, as unrehearsed, as explosive as life at the very beginning. God calls us to respond to these gifts with creativity, with joy, and with courage. In worship, we can begin to accept this gift of new life. Let us worship God together as we join in the hymn, Worship Christ the Risen King, number 259 in the blue hymnal. We'll be singing verses 1, 4, and 5 only. And those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. We come before you, O God, basking in Easter joy, seeking to be a people of the resurrection. Be known among us. Grant us the assurance of your presence, your love, and your renewing power. through your word and spirit, reveal to us your purpose in our lives. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. We now pray together as he taught, saying aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May be seated, and in Sunday school class for kindergarten through grade 2, students and teacher may go out at this time. We have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to a time of prayer. And we want to continue to remember those folks that are not able to get out as often or get to church as often as they might wish. Naming them like Paul Patry and Claire Stevens and May Upperman, to name just a few. We do continue to want to pray for Dorothy Berry, as Dorothy is in the choir today, but I know she's undergoing some physical therapy. She suffered a stroke about 10 days ago, almost 2 weeks ago now, so we want to continue to remember Dorothy in prayer. And also, as we are praying for our Judson Association churches today, and we're still playing catch-up because I didn't start on time, so we want to pray for the House of Hope in Lynn and also the First Baptist Church in Revere today, and pray that their ministries, that they may be finding out God's will for them, and that they may be seeking that out, and that God may bless their ministry in their communities today. Do you have any celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family this morning as we go to prayer? Cindy. Yes, it's Lana's birthday today, so happy birthday to Lana. So, yes, anyone else have a prayer request today? Betty. Well, that's wonderful, okay. So, okay. Okay. So Betty's grandson and his wife have purchased a home, and that Naomi was taking some type of math test up in Burlington, Vermont. So some type of placement test or achievement test. So I want to keep them in prayer. Anyone else have a request for prayer today? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up something that's been mentioned here or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. O God, we gather this day as Easter people, living on this side of Easter, knowing the good news that the tomb is empty. But Lord, like the disciple Thomas, we sometimes want to believe, but we have doubts at times. When we hear news of new deaths due to warfare, damage caused by another natural disaster, and stories of people that are struggling in poverty and violence-filled communities, We struggle to find hope for our lives and for theirs. As we walk alongside family and friends suffering from illness or addiction, dealing with the pain of broken relationships, we confess that we aren't always confident of your presence in our lives. The shadow of gloom tends to obscure our sight. We are thankful for the work of your Spirit in those people who encourage us and remind us that you have not abandoned us. You are present in the suffering of your creation. Help us trust that doubt and questions are a part of faith and not a lack of it. Lord, we pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts so that we may see you. Kindle in our hearts a desire to know you better and renew our spirits. Help us grow in our faith and build our lives on the sure foundation of the risen Christ. May our minds and hearts truly take in the good news of your presence among us. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. We've prayed together this morning and sung together. Now we have an opportunity of sharing our tithes and gifts as we support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation and its outreach as the ushers receive the morning offering. Let's pray together. Lord, as we present these tithes and gifts to you, we ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the good news that everywhere we go, that you are there with us. That's part of the news of the empty tomb, that Christ is alive and with us wherever we go. Lord, help us to share that with others who are struggling today. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated, and Dorothy Berry will be reading the scripture today.
Reading the gospel today from St. John's Gospel, chapter 20, reading from 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, was of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These are the words of the Lord. Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Dorothy. Let's pray together. Lord, what an exciting and perplexing and frightening time that early day of the resurrection must have been. Last week we focused on the morning events, and today's scripture focuses on the evening events when Jesus reunites with his disciples, most of them. And Lord, we just are in awe of the powers the resurrected Christ had, the message that he offers to all of us even today. And Lord, we pray that through your scripture and through your spirit, our hearts and minds may be opened to receive a message from you that will help us in our faithful daily living. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. What frightens you? What or whom do you fear? Sometimes our fears paralyze us. Several years ago, Time magazine reported the sad story of a man who died of fear. He had taken a number of fur trapping expeditions over the years and had been bitten by his share of ticks. When he learned about Lyme disease, that it was carried by deer ticks, he became obsessed with the fear that he had been bitten in the past by a tick with the disease, and that he had passed that disease on to his wife. Doctors tested him and assured him that he did not have Lyme disease, and that even if he did, the disease was virtually impossible to transmit to his wife. But the man did not believe the doctors. Paranoid because of the fear of having the disease, the man eventually killed his wife and himself. The police found the man's mailbox jammed with material describing Lyme disease and a slip confirming a doctor's appointment for yet another Lyme disease test. Fear distorts a sense of reality. Fear can consume a person's energy and thoughts. Fear can control us. Our fears generate a lot of business today, whether it's fear of the darkness or modes of travel, aging, you name it, whatever fear you may have felt or are feeling now, and perhaps it's even death. All of these fears, there are alternative solutions out there that can be secured at almost any price. When we stop and think about it, security systems are big business in our culture. Although many Americans grew up in an age when the back door was never locked, deadbolts, chains, alarms, and guard dogs are the rule rather than the exception today. Barricaded doors are an outward sign of our inward fears. Today's scripture lesson begins with an incident involving a locked door. The disciples were in an upper room and had the door locked for fear of the Jews, and their fears were understandable. Jesus had died. They could be next. Whatever Jesus had done, they had done also. They were afraid of guilt by association. They could die just as easily as Jesus had. The fear of the disciples was tangible. They knew firsthand what to expect if they were to be captured. They heard the sounds of death, the cries of the women from Golgotha, the defiance of the angry mob, and the instability of the political leadership. If the Roman authorities did not kill them, then the religious leaders would certainly have their way, they must have thought. Either way, the disciples feared their own death, and that fear was real. So they locked the door to avoid persecution from former friends. And surely they were anxious when the women returned from the empty tomb saying that Jesus had risen from the dead. Was it true? If it is, what did it mean? And what would happen next? Jesus miraculously comes to them in their doubts and in their fears, walking through a closed door. He knows their fears and offers them consolation when he says, "Peace be with you." Jesus shows them his hands and his side, perhaps to prove his identity and the reality of his crucifixion. And again, he offers consolation to them, trying to ease their spirits. But another kind of fear appears in today's scripture, although cloaked as skepticism and doubt. Thomas, whose very name has come to suggest doubt, also exhibits fear. Thomas's fear, however, appears far less noble to us than the fear of the disciples. Thomas, who was not with the disciples when they first encountered the risen Jesus, did not believe their report. His skepticism took precedence, and he countered, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my fingers in that mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, Thomas and the other disciples are still hiding, and again Jesus comes to them, and Jesus offers them consolation with the same greeting, "Peace be with you." And Thomas again expresses his doubt. And Jesus, again this time to Thomas, shows his hands and his side, and Thomas finally accepts the risen Lord and believes. We read about the fear of the disciples, and we have sympathy. We read about Thomas's skepticism, and we often become judgmental. But what if Thomas and the disciples were truly afraid? The disciples feared the known. They could be assured that they would be killed. And Thomas feared the unknown. How could he believe when he had not seen? Whether we like to admit it or not, fear resides in all of us. We can be fearful of the known if we find ourselves in a raft with no paddle and about to drop into whitewater rapids. We have every right to be fearful. If we are face to face with an angry bull in a pen with no protective gear and are wearing red clothing, we have every right to be afraid. Fear comes from knowing the dangers and the risks that are inherent in the events that we participate in. The fear of the disciples can be understood. We can understand why they want to stay locked up in a house for fear of their own death. They had followed Jesus. They were identified with him. People knew their names. They knew what they looked like. Crowds had watched them assist Jesus feed 5,000, heal the sick, bring food to Jesus, secure transportation for him. The names of the disciples were known by the crowds and could easily be secured by the religious leaders. The disciples were afraid of what they knew. And even though at first glance Thomas appears cocky and self-reliant, the internal emotion is fear. We call it skepticism, or perhaps lack of faith. We know people who do not rely on feelings or evaluations of others, but want to be shown the numbers before they will believe. Just give me the facts, the doubting Thomases of today will say. I want to see it before I believe it. Although we often show compassion for the individual who fears the known, we often show disdain for the skeptic. We allow the fearful ones to have time to ponder the risks and the insecurities of risk. We even prepare for the fear. We take a guide with us down the river to maneuver the rapids with us. We applaud the brave matador in the bullpen. But to the skeptic, we offer no sympathies. What if we understood skepticism as another form of fear? What if we offered the same kind of consolation to those who fear the known as well as those who fear the unknown? Jesus did. Jesus asserts that the ideal faith response is to believe without having to see. But for some of us, the road to belief runs first through skepticism and doubt, and we have to see before we can believe. But God can use all of us, whether we are able to believe without the sight or whether we need to see it first. And when our fear is gone, when we know that our faith is real, that Jesus Christ is alive today and forever, then we are empowered to do great things for him. Christ appeared in the disciples' midst, and his first words were, "Peace be with you." And then he said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit." The invitation to receive the Spirit came right after their marching orders, for it is impossible to do one without the other. It was Christ's Spirit breathed upon them that set them free from the safe and the stagnant upper room to go out and to start his ministry, to continue his ministry. And the church was born. Fellowship of believers, a community of faith was born. Those disciples witnessed. They healed. They preached. They did wonders in the name of the risen Lord. And the book of Acts tells us that the church increased in numbers and spirit daily. They knew the security and freedom of being under God's control. We gather today as followers of Jesus Christ who conquered death. Our Lord promises that where two or three are gathered in his name, that he is there. And his words to us are the same as to his first disciples. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Some say yes to that invitation daily to God's gracious word, and it shows in their words and their actions. Others said yes and meant it sometime in the past, but the fear or the love of this present world has gradually shut the door on the Spirit. And that also shows in their words and their behavior. And some of us have understood what it means to be used and be filled by the Spirit. But God's word is the same to all. Receive the Holy Spirit, and you shall be witnesses to the joy that is offered through Jesus Christ. Receive the Holy Spirit, and you shall be witnesses to the resurrection unto the ends of the earth. Which will each of us choose? The closed doors of the upper room, or hearts open to the gifts of the Spirit? Suffocating in our own defense, or drawing the breath of life from God? Will our lives be spent making disciples or making excuses? Greet the risen Christ with joy. Receive the peace that comes only from Him, and go forward in the power of His Spirit to love and to serve the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, at times it is dangerous to follow You. Your first followers knew that all too well. We here in the United States have such wonderful privileges and rights that we don't tend to feel that danger so much, but we know that there are believers around this world that it is very dangerous to follow You. Lord, we pray for those who live in fear today. We pray that You will go to them and share Your Spirit with them and empower them, that they may unlock the locked doors, they may open their hearts and their minds to You, that they may receive Your Spirit and then go out from their prisons, new people, to share Your love and the good news of Your life with others. Lord, touch our fears today. Offer us Your peace and Your Spirit, that we may be changed people by having worshiped here today, by hearing Your word. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Because He Lives, number 256 in the Blue Hymnal.
Thank you.
Our risen Lord has shown the mark of the nails and said, "Peace be with you." He has breathed on us and filled us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let us go out into the world to share the good news that all fear is gone through Christ's peace, forgiveness, and reconciling love. Amen.